own a business, you may follow the do it now philosophy, but you'll also have to think about tomorrow, which means you'll need to take action on your retirement plan and your business succession plan. In choosing a retirement plan, you have several good possibilities, including an owner-only 401k, SEP IRA, or simple IRA. Or if your goal is to contribute as much as possible, you may want to consider an owner-only defined benefit plan. Your tax and financial advisors can help you pick a plan that's right for you. As for succession plans, many techniques are available, including an outright sale to a third party, a sale to your employees or management at once or over time, or transfer your business within your family through a sale or gift during your life, at your death, or any combination thereof. You'll need to consult with your legal advisor in choosing a succession plan. Take the time you need to make the right choice. This is David Babick, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Waitsfield, 496-5533, member SIPC.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. Beautiful day out there today. Thanks for spending part of it with us. Boy, aren't we lucky to be living here in Vermont. Coming up on the program this morning, in our second hour, we're going to be chatting with the new president of Vermont Public Television. Holly Gorshner will be joining us. We'll find out what her big plans are for the tube. Also, in our second hour, we'll check in with our White House crew to begin hour number two. And let me give you the phone numbers right off the bat, because we always appreciate your participation in the program. You can call us at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. All right, we're going to get right down to business this morning. It's really one of my favorite programs every year. Joining us here live in our studios this morning is Ben Koenig. He is famous for being the proprietor of the Country Bookshop, thecountrybookshop.com. We all know the phone number off the top of our heads, don't we? It's amazing. I have to say, I think you have one of the most successful ads that I've ever heard anybody ever have.
Yeah, you know, I get calls often, and people say to me, you know, I'm calling you because I know your phone number, and they sing it to me. So,
It's one of the few times you want to actually hear something kind of as creepy as that. Who came up with that idea? Because people must say to you, you know, what ad agency out of New York came up with that?
Well, I did it. It's all mine. Uh-huh. It was actually recorded right here at WDEV many years ago, and it was I wanted to get Country Bookshop, because the is always, you know, Country Bookshop, it's comma, the.
Right.
But no, I couldn't get Country Bookshop, because there were other Country Bookshops. So I had to take thecountrybookshop.com.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, how are they going to put that? They're going to forget to put the in. They're going to get these other bookshops in North Carolina. There's one in England somewhere. So So I said, well, thecountrybookshop.com. I sort of got this rhythm going, and I play guitar. So I picked up the guitar, and I started singing. It was a very quick write this ad. I knew I had to keep repeating it over and over again, and I did, and took a minute, and there we go.
You're like that guy that wrote for Glenn Campbell. You know, I could just, like, rattle off, you know, all those great songs, one after another.
Well, there's always hope for me, I suppose, but not for Glenn Campbell, I don't think, too much anymore.
No, sad story. We're actually here this morning not to talk about Ben's bookshop. We are going to talk a little bit about bookshops, but we're here to talk about what's coming up on Sunday, which is the 22nd annual, that's amazing, Vermont Book, Postcard, and Ephemera Fair, and it's going to be happening up in Burlington. New location this year. They're down at the Hilton right there on the Burlington waterfront. Okay, we know what books and postcards are. Tell people, what is ephemera?
Well, an ephemeral item is something that usually sort of floats in the wind somewhere. You throw it away. You get an ad in the you get junk mail today. You throw it away, you know. Well, there are other things. I mean, stamps are an ephemeral collection, which are more famous. People know that people collect stamps.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, over the years, people have been collecting other odd things. I was talking to before. I mean, a fellow came up to me at a show in New York recently, and he said he was looking for things with images of harps.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I live in Plainfield, so I collect things that have to do with Plainfield.
All right, and that seems kind of
doesn't that seem? And so
normal,
people collect things about their own town. Some people collect things about their own family or family name. I mean, there are you have some connection that you make to paper, pieces of paper, and often it's stuff that people would have dumped. You know, recently I framed because I want to sell this, of course, but it was a store in Montpelier, probably in the 1860s, something like that. And this was wrapping paper from that store, but it had a printed image on it saying that what they sold and things like that. And it's obviously, you can see from the look of it, that it's from the 1860s. So, but the paper, I mean, wrapping paper, that they would have wrapped something you bought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people keep that? You know, you throw
right.
it away. So here is, if you collect Montpelier, there's an item that you're probably not going to find somewhere else. And I wanted to make sure that it survived.
Mm-hmm.
So I had it matted and in Montpelier, in fact, and now it's sitting in my bookshop.
Hmm.
So, I mean, so people collect things that, you know, they have a connection with in that way.
Mostly paper products? I mean, is that a
well,
fair way to...
Well, when we're talking about ephemera, we're
okay.
talking about paper.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it can be even broader than that. Some people collect maybe games, you know, or puzzles.
Right.
Or things like that. And that they're sort of paper. But, you know, if somebody wrote a letter, and in it they said, you know, yesterday I was at Ford's Theater, and there was this commotion. Commotion happened,
yeah.
You know, and the president got shot, you know, and then we saw this guy jump on the stage. You know, if you have a letter like that, I mean, that's an ephemeral item in a sense. I mean, and people collect, obviously, would be very happy to get something like that in their collection about Lincoln, or maybe they collect Civil War, or they collect Americana of one kind or another.
So, imagine having a ticket to that show.
Or a ticket. Now, the ticket itself, right, yeah. that would be worth quite a bit.
Yeah, especially if it wasn't even ripped or anything. It'd be snuck in
yeah.
by the usher or something like that.
Yeah.
And some of these autographs are kind of key as part of this, too.
Autographs, people collect autographs. Sometimes... they've broken into categories. I have here, I showed you before, an autographed letter of Duke Ellington. So Duke Ellington being one of the premier jazz composers and American composers, African-American, to have a signed letter by him
mm-hmm.
is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he wrote a lot of stuff, but a lot of people hold on. The other thing has, you know, thinking about price is always the availability, the desirability.
Right.
You know, supply and demand, just like any other product. And Duke Ellington is always in demand. So a Duke Ellington letter, original photograph, if you happened, your parents or grandparents went to see him and he put his arm around you and someone took a picture. It was harder to take pictures in those days than it is today. There were no selfies going on. And so, you know, somebody did that, and you had this original photograph, and if he happened to sign it as
right.
well, I mean, it's even more desirable. And I have the letter that he wrote to someone who gave money to the Billy Strayhorn Foundation. Billy was his fellow composer. They composed a lot of Take the A-Train and a lot of things like that. So there's someone, I have an autograph, which I have here, which is of Dwight Eisenhower. He became president, of course, and when he was president, people wrote to him, before he was president, people wrote to him and they wanted his autograph. There's a very funny book, I can't remember the name of the book, of a guy who would write, he wanted... So he would write to somebody like, I think the one I remember is he wrote to Gerald Ford.
Uh-huh. You know,
Gerald Ford was president. And he wrote to them and he said, you know, we've just had a baby and we've named him Gerald Ford. So Gerald Ford would write back
it's a
letter.
Girl, but yeah.
Would write back a letter, you know.
And he'd get the signature.
And he'd get the signature. Oh. So, you know, he wanted the signature. Then he writes another letter and he says, we've had a tragedy in our family.
No.
Gerald Ford Smith has passed away. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible thing. Got pneumonia and passed away. And he gets another letter of condolence from Gerald Ford, right? Another signed letter by the President of the United States.
And this is all made up?
All made up.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, people do things, not always legit in this stuff. But anyway, but people do collect, apparently they collect.
Who was this guy who was doing that?
This was in a book. He would write to all kinds of people.
Wow.
I really, I should have brought you the information, but I don't have it off the top of my head.
That's like there was a guy who one time had this book, and I was so mad because I thought I should have come up with this idea. He wrote to every professional golfer and asked them the question, write me back and tell me the best shot you ever had in your career. I mean, talk about playing to somebody's ego. And he got all these guys, you know, Jack Nicklaus all writing back, big signatures, and all he wanted was a signature.
Yeah, well.
Now, I have a Marcellus Parsons business card. He didn't sign it, but that's ephemera. That might be
there you go.
Something.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, there are people who collect business cards.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a few, and they have, you know, these books that you can buy to keep the business your business cards in order. You know,
right.
Little.
Well,
you
I don't have one. But
you know,
I'm aware
of them. See the size of your wallet. I can see how many business cards you got. But there's, but they buy those books.
Right.
And they put them in, and you put them into different categories and different businesses, and some of them are very fancy, some famous people, and sometimes you can get them signed, you know.
Well, I've stopped, you know, 10 years ago, I just said, I'm done. I'm not refusing, not signing anything else anymore.
The letter that I would...
Dead kid. God, that is just awful.
Yeah. The letter that I would love to have seen and had is, I guess this is a cautionary tale.
All right.
My father-in-law was the editor of the Washington Star.
Okay.
And his name was Newbold Noyes. He's no longer with us. Now, Newbold, the Washington Star was a conservative paper. Newbold got a son-in-law like me, but anyway, we got along pretty well.
Communist,
yeah. Pretty close. So, but anyway, when Chappaquiddick happened,
mm-hmm.
And Edward Kennedy had, Ted Kennedy was, you know, sort of in trouble and all, my father-in-law wrote the editorial for the Washington Star, which was critical of Ted Kennedy. And apparently, according to Newbold, what he told me, it so incensed Ted Kennedy that he sat down and hand-wrote a 3-page letter to my father-in-law complaining about that editorial.
No way.
And I said, so I'm listening to him telling me the story. I said, well, where is the letter? And he said, because this is the way it's somewhere. I mean, you know, we got lots of letters. I mean, it's somewhere in there. And we never were able to find the letter.
No.
Never able to find the letter. I'm sure that it was printed in the paper. I mean, I'm sure that
transcribed it or something.
But a letter like that, a letter like that. So that would be the kind of thing. I mean, you know, there are different, there's this autograph of Dwight Eisenhower. There's a letter from his secretary saying, you asked for his autograph, well, here it is. And they send a little card that's autographed by him. And so there's that kind of an autograph. There are autographs people get from checks that people have written, and they get the check, and maybe they get a picture of the guy, and they frame them together in some way. But then you get letters, and then you get a letter from someone saying, thank you for asking for my autograph, and here it is. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or some of you get letters on various levels of content. And then you begin to look at the content, you know, and either you have this letter from the guy who was sitting at Ford's Theater, or you have an official who was there sitting next to Lincoln maybe, or you know, whatever the content of it. The better the content is, then you're talking about something, and something that really adds to our knowledge of an event.
Right.
I mean, that's or something about, you know, Hemingway writes a letter and he says, you know,
I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to, right. Yeah. You get that letter, and, you know, that's worth a lot more than just some.
Or I stole the idea of Old Man in the Sea from, you know, Ben Koenig or something like that.
Well, that, or you tell him, you know, he's saying, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald, you know, an
idiot.
Yeah,
he's terrible.
I wouldn't have it. You know, so you have something that gives you some feeling of that, you know.
Yeah.
I once appraised a book by Hemingway, which was the book about bullfighting, Death in the Afternoon.
Yeah.
God, and
great book.
Hemingway had inscribed the book to Ring Lardner, who was a short story writer and a baseball writer and stuff. And he was a humorist. And Hemingway, in his inscription, said, put himself down. I don't remember the exact inscription, but he put himself down and saying, I'm inscribing this like to the master, that, you know, you're a so much better writer than
I
am.
Wow.
That kind of an inscription is different than someone just signing a book, you know.
And so, handwritten's got to be like major value bonus points.
Right.
Maybe put these on here. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. We're talking with Ben Koenig. He runs the Country Bookshop. He's also one of the organizers of the Vermont Book, Postcard, and Ephemera Fair, which will be happening Sunday starting at 10 a.m. at the Hilton on the Burlington waterfront. Let's go to Waitsfield. Fred, good morning.
Good morning, Mark, and good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Would the name of the author that you're searching for be Laszlo?
You mean about the book, the guy who was looking for autographs, you mean?
Yes.
It might be. I really, sorry about this. I don't know.
Oh.
But wait, what's the book by Laszlo?
Yeah, I read that many years ago, and just memory, I believe the man's name was Laszlo.
All right, well. Gee.
But that's just my feeble memory.
No. Yeah. No, not as feeble as mine, apparently, so I appreciate it.
Fred, do you collect anything?
As far as books?
Yeah, or, you know, tickets to museums, stuff like that?
No, not actually. I've got a little gentleman's farm over here in Waitsfield, and just trying to keep things running and maintained here is a whole job.
All right. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Take care.
You too.
Well, you know, people collect agricultural things. I mean, someone has a farm, they can collect books on farming, for instance. The United States government still, I think, they used to anyway, put out the annual agricultural reports, many of which had, the early ones around the turn of the last century, had color plates in them of new apples that have been developed, or peaches, or something like that. And I'm often critical of our government, but those reports are terrific, and the color plates are gorgeous. And so there are people who collect those. And so I would encourage Fred to start collecting. I like collectors. People who collect things.
Do you notice how far I kept my coffee away from the Duke Ellington letter, by the way?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'd imagine that, you know, you get a stain on something, it can really devalue it, right?
Yeah, you don't want things hit by sunlight. When you put things into plastic, some people say, well, I should take the book and put it in a plastic bag.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you put it in a plastic bag, there's usually some dampness in the book.
Right.
And now it's enclosed in the plastic bag.
Mold.
Gets warm,
yeah.
Gets moldy, gets something like that. So that's not a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the safest place for a lot of stuff is right out on the shelf. I mean, so you can get air around it. And as long as it's not in direct sunlight, you know, I get a lot of questions about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I get questions about whether some old moldy, musty book can be, you know, preserved in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, and it's not cheap. It can be done, but in most cases, unless that particular copy of the book, it was Grandma's book and Grandma's name in it, and she wrote all her special recipes in it or something like that. Unless it's something special, you probably can get the book cheaper at my bookshop or some bookshop somewhere, or going to the Vermont Antiquarian Book Fair or something. Then you can, you know. So and mold grows, and it grows to other books. So you don't want to, once it's got the mold, you don't want to stick it on the shelf.
Right. It helps too if Grandma was Ernest Hemingway.
Yes, that would be very helpful.
244-1777, that's our local number in Central Vermont. You can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. A moment of your time for our friends at Jamison Insurance. If you're looking for a great hometown family-run company to do your insurance business with, make it the Jamisons. If you'd like to have them review your policies, they'd be happy to do that. 496-2080 is their phone number. You can find them online at jamisoninsurance.com. And they have offices in, I gave you the main number in Waitsfield. They also have offices up in Richmond and right around the corner here in Waterbury as well, too. And again, that phone number in Waitsfield, if you own a business, John Jamison, who runs the family business, he'll come to your place of business, do a review of the policies, write up a report for you, tell you whether or not you're getting the best possible deal. We'll even leave his business card behind, and he might even sign it for you, which will be of great value to you. Give him a call today at 496-2080 and online at jamisoninsurance.com. We'll take a quick break, come back, continue our discussion this morning with Ben Koenig. We're talking about the Vermont Book, Postcard, and Ephemera Fair back after this.
Hi, I'm Matt Farr from Capital City Kia in Montpelier, and I am here to say that now is the time to make a deal. Right now, until the close of business on April 30th, Capital City will be giving away $100,000 at both locations. Yes, you heard me right, $100,000 in the month of April. To do this, we will be combining cash back and covering first monthly payments up to $500. Capital City Kia believes in making deals with our crazy low prices and absolutely huge Kia inventory. Right now, while supplies last, take $10,000 off a Kia Cadenza. The entire Kia lineup is priced right, has the best warranty in the business, and has great fuel economy. So even if you think you owe too much money on your current vehicle, or you just want a great deal on a new Kia, then now is the time. So hurry in now. Until April 30th, or till the money is gone, just say you heard it on the radio, and we will cover your first monthly payment up to $500. Capital City Kia is located on Route 2, just east of Montpelier, and we are a proud member of the Auto Saver Group of Dealerships. Remember, at Capital City Kia, we want to see you in a Kia.
Are you a flavor junkie? Do you have discerning taste or just really opinionated taste buds? Well, if so, and you're 18 or older, the Keurig Green Mountain Sensory Test Center wants to hear from you. Join us at our facility in Waterbury Center for ongoing tasting sessions, and be the first to experience innovative foods, beverages, and other products before you see them in the grocery aisle. Tasting sessions happen every week and only take 30 to 45 minutes. Each time you visit, you'll receive rewards such as Amazon gift cards and Keurig.com discounts, plus incentives to shop and eat locally while you're in town. Who doesn't want the opportunity to have fun and get rewarded at the same time? All you have to do is tell us what you think. There's no experience necessary to participate. You just need to be 18 or older and love trying new things. Become a Keurig Green Mountain taste tester today and let your voice be heard. Give us a call at 882-2500, and don't forget to tell your friends.
Hi, I'm Yvonne from VSECU, a credit union for everybody in Vermont. Did you know that a 0% loan offered by a dealership may not really end up being zero? That's because interest rates offered can be based on your credit score. The better your score, the lower your interest rate and monthly payment. At VSECU, we want you to be empowered when buying a new vehicle so that you get the best deal possible. So, I have a tip for you. Get pre-approved before you start shopping. It's a great way to be sure that your credit report is error-free so that issues don't pop up when you're at the dealership. It's always good to know your score and look for ways to improve it. Scores can range from 300 to a perfect 850 score. And here's a factoid. In Vermont, the average score is 706. We can review your credit history and score with you and give you a budget before you go car shopping. Find out more at vsecu.com.
This credit union is federally insured by NCUA.
Ruben and his team from RB Technologies on Route 14 in East Montpelier has been creating and supporting thoughtfully designed, custom-crafted computer networks for their clients since 1997. Here's Marsha Curtis from Capital Steel.
He's our IT specialist. We go to him for everything that we need for the computer systems, our security systems, our perception monitoring. If we've got a question about our email, a computer, Windows, any kind of situation that we run into, we run to Ruben. Oh, his customer service is great, along with being extremely professional. They're very personable. It's not like somebody sitting in here and talking a bunch of computer speak to you. They actually listen. They answer your questions in English, which is really good. And they don't look at you like you're absolutely crazy. You know, when you say, my computer is making this really strange picture or whatever it's doing. And they always seem to come up with a solution. It's really great. It works really well for us.
RB Technologies cares about their customers. Online at rbtechvt.com. RB Technologies, efficiency through technology.
Back continue our discussion. We've been talking this morning with Ben Koenig, runs the Country Bookshop, is one of the organizers of the Vermont Book, Postcard, and Ephemera Fair. And, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about Lincoln. Today is the anniversary of his assassination in 1865. So you have any Abe Lincoln stuff?
Well, I have some photographs. And I sold actually the best photograph I've ever had. I sold in New York at a book fair this past weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
If you'd known the assassination was coming up, you could have probably gotten more. What was the picture of?
And it was a picture of him standing by in front of a desk. But this particular thing's before he had a beard, and it's before, and it was a very rare photograph. I mean, there's a lot of photographs of Lincoln. You know, if you wanted to collect things on Lincoln, you'd be collecting forever.
Yeah.
A lot of
pennies out there.
And the books, there are thousands of books about Lincoln, about the assassination, about the Civil War, and about his thoughts of things, and his movies, and his all kinds of stuff. But the photographs,
that handwritten Gettysburg address.
If you want, you can buy. I did an appraisal recently of a commission that someone got while Lincoln was president. So he signed the commission, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And most of those, you know, you can get something signed. If it's a commission and something that's not really, as we were talking before
personal,
about
yeah.
something, you know, for probably in the range of $4,000 or $5,000, I'd say something
wow.
like that. You know?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Still a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money, but we're talking about Lincoln here.
Yeah. What'd you get for the photograph?
And for the photograph, actually, I got $1,000 for the photograph.
Wow.
It's a carte de visite, which is, 2 inches or 3 inches long and maybe a couple of inches wide. That's
so
a carte de visite. Like a playing card size, yeah. And there are photographs that are that size from the 1860s, and sometimes even, you know, photography was starts in the 1840s or 30s. So, but these
God, it's amazing how well these have held up.
Yeah,
I mean, you can barely take a photograph, a digital photograph, and print it out on paper today, and 5 years later, everybody disappears.
Well, here you go, and we happen to be looking. We're talking to an audience that is not seeing this, but we're looking at these photographs of. Some of them of Civil War generals and things. This is something which I'll bring, by the way, to the fair on Sunday at the Hilton. And I don't know, did we say it's, you know, it goes from 10 to 4.
Right.
Free.
And
it's free admission. Yeah.
Free.
This is the first year that we were able to run this fair completely free.
Mm-hmm.
And you said I organized it, but I did not organize it. I sit and chat and, you know, I can shoot whatever with you. But the one who really organized it is Donna Howard, who has a shop in St. Albans called The Eloquent Page.
Okay.
And it's right on the main drag in St. Albans, a beautiful shop. And there are a lot of beautiful shops around these days. I mean, I was in one in Pulteney the other day. And we are trying, those of us who have open bookshops that you can come into, bricks and mortar bookshops, we're trying to work out so that on the website of the Vermont Antiquarian Booksellers Association website, which is, by the way, Vermont, all spelled out, the world's longest web page name, vermontisbookcountry.com. And if you go there, you'll see that there's a map of all of the bookshops in the state and information and stuff about us. But we're trying to work out another page in that on that site that would have little tours that you could take in the southern part of the state and go to, you know, maybe three or four or more bookshops if you got more time, and go around and visit us. It's amazing. Each of the shops is different.
Yeah.
We all have different specialties and different things that we're interested in. Some people like newer, modern first editions, and you might go in and you find signed books and newer stuff. And then some, like my shop, has all kinds of stuff. I've got 50,000 books in there, but we also have old photographs and old postcards and paper and all the stuff that we're talking about here, ephemera of one kind or another. So you'll find stuff like that. You'll find bookshops that, we're all nice people, you know. We're all honorable people.
Yeah.
But, you know, the nice thing about the Vermont bookshops, almost all of us buy locally. So, I mean, I get calls. Yesterday, I got a phone call. I got two phone calls yesterday. One, someone who was trying to sell me 35,000 books. Okay?
Okay.
This is becoming, it's not always 35,000.
God.
But it's becoming common for me to get phone calls about, and someone else who had a few thousand books for sale. And people say, well, you know, can I come by? I say, well, how many boxes do you have? Well, you know, it's the truck. It's the whole back of the truck, you know, is filled up with these boxes. And there's been a big shift in the book business. I've been doing this for 41 years. So I've seen an enormous shift in stuff.
I'll say.
But I have great faith. I'm one of these half full kind of people, I think, especially about the book business. And I've begun to see at the book fairs used to be very gray-haired. They became kind of gray-haired events. And including my own. And suddenly, we're beginning to see young people in their, and by that I mean people in their late 20s and 30s, people who have a little bit of money to spend, have an interest in something, have begun to collect something, or they like to read a certain author. Hmm. They are coming into the bookshop, my bookshop. I see them at the book fairs. I've just done a book fair in New York City, which was just completely filled all day long with all kinds of people. There's a change going on. There's something happening that, you know, wasn't happening before.
Maybe put those on here. And by the way, collecting the Lincoln stuff, there are a lot of pennies, but there's only one memorial.
Lincoln Memorial. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, let's go to Barry. Hi, Steve. Good morning. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you. I've been doing business with Ben many, 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 many years, and I think he started out. Didn't you start in your barn, Ben, years ago?
Yeah, Steve. I was in a barn. I actually was at a trailer in Moortown. That was the first incarnation, and then it went into they went to a house on Walter Smith's farm that's a basement where, incidentally, the Vermont Antiquarian Booksellers Association was formed, in that basement there. Then I went to what I think you're remembering is the barn. I took a barn in downtown Plainfield behind the church and had a barn there, and then finally moved to my present location.
Yeah, that's it. And I've been a collector of ephemera too, and it kind of gets in your blood. You don't want it to be there sometimes, but it just kind of digs into you deeply. And in my case, my folks were antique dealers, and they dragged me to every auction in the world, and I hated it. And eventually, something came up for sale that I had an interest in, and that was back in the days when you could buy a box lot for a dollar. I collected stamps, and so there was a bunch of stamps in this box that I bought. And when I brought it home, I started looking through things, and there were some cool things that, like some old things that I could frame, and I put them in my folk shop, and I actually got a lot of money for some of this stuff. So it kind of turned me around, and there were also some items in the box that there were two pieces of wood, one from the Kearsarge and one from the Alabama, and a letter describing how somebody went into the Boston Navy Yard and pulled these specimens out. Well, unfortunately, those got lost at time. I entrusted them to somebody locally, and they disappeared, but they'll probably surface someday in Vermont. But it does get into your blood.
Well, you do something that I think I'm talking to the right person here with glass negatives and glass slides, right?
That's right. I've been collecting photographs and daguerreotypes for many years, and I know you collect bells, Ben. You didn't talk about that.
No, I try not to talk too much about the bells, but but that's a, you know, we were talking about photographs before, and people use they collect photographs, actual photographs, but also there were these glass negatives that were used. And so sometimes I'll get a box of glass negatives, and, you know, you think, what are you going to do with them? Hmm. Steve actually takes them and develops them. Right. Or, I don't know what you do with them, Steve. But
well, what you can do now digitally is you can take any glass negative, and if you have a photographic scanner, they're just like any negative. You can scan them and turn them into digital images and make wonderful prints. In fact, a lot of people have treasures in their house that they don't know exist, and like with 35-millimeter slides. I have some pictures of my dad back in the 50s that were beautiful slides. They turn into incredible photographs.
Mm. So that's amazing. So things are, some things are easier now, and also some things are just a little, there's just so much stuff out there that some people, and there's a whole generation of young people who, I don't know, I don't understand it myself. As Steve was saying, you know, he started out, you get a box lot at an auction or something happens and you begin looking at it, and your eyes kind of get different because you begin to sort of see new things that you get interested in stuff. And it could be history, like these ships, or it could be, I don't know, I collect books on bells and paper stuff that have to do with bells. I don't know how I got there, but
Can I tell you another real quick story?
Sure.
I was in New Hampshire driving out Route 3 one time, and I thought I'd hit the antique shops looking for some ephemeral items. And I came across this journal, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, but the journal was from 1861, and there was an entry on June 1st that said, a fugitive slave came here about 10 o'clock to spend the night. I fixed him a bed in the wool room. And not being signed, I had no idea where this journal came from or who it was, but I knew it was from the area. So I went to a local historian who actually solved the mystery. We found the house, and it was just amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. That is cool. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff can show up, you know. It is amazing.
But what a great, you know, what a great mystery. What a great fun to, you know, for you to be able to find out where that came from. That's cool.
I'm sure it was kind of shocking to the people when they read the Sunday paper and they had a picture of their house and they were talking about the Underground Railroad visiting Lebanon, New Hampshire. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
244-1777. That's our local number in Central Vermont. You can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. Let me take a moment to remind you about our friends at Jet Service Envelope. If you ever want to have your memoirs printed, maybe you want to, you know, print the story behind the story of how you started a bookshop in a barn, you could have those memoirs printed at Jet Service Envelope. And you can call them today for pricing information at 229-9335. 229-9335. You'll also find them on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue our discussion with Ben Koenig. He runs the Country Bookshop. Maybe I call you the inspiration. Can I call you the inspiration as part of this?
Of the book fair?
You know, if I can't call you the organizer, can I call you the inspiration?
Well, you can call me whatever you'd like. Well, sir, within reason, anything
I can call you
like.
Ben, yeah. All right. One of the founders?
I am one of the founders.
All right. There we go. Save turf. We finally found here. Okay. Ben Koenig, one of the founders of the Vermont Book, Postcard, and Ephemera Fair. Of course, it's the 22nd annual, so I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't say you're the founder.
I founded it. I founded the Vermont Antiquarian Booksellers Association, and that was in 1977.
Wow.
Well before these guys, before we started this book fair in Burlington.
Wow. Just trying to think, was I actually born that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, Guinness, Pigby and I are in different need of new crates. My old one is broken and rusty. Pigby has just outgrown his. So, we're going to One Stop Country Pet Supply for new ones.
Ted, during the month of April, One Stop Country Pet Supply will have weekly sales on all things related to the health and well-being of puppies and kittens. Each week will feature different products.
I didn't know that. How did you know? Oh, yeah. Saskia told you.
You catch on quick, my friend.
And I know that you can go to their website, onestopcountrypet.com, and get details about what's on sale each week. Everything from crates and pens to puppy and kitten food.
Oh, how perfectly wonderful, darling. Precious will be thrilled.
It's a month filled with weekly sales on what you need for your puppy or kitten at One Stop Country Pet Supply, the Barry Montpelier Road in Berlin, Vermont. Open every day.
Woohoo! I love this store. I do!
Time to get up.
I don't feel good.
Oh, honey.
It's okay. I know you can't miss work, so I'll go to school.
Paid sick leave is not only important for hardworking adults, it's also good for our kids. When parents can't take time off work, they are forced to send their kids to school sick. Visit vtpaidsickdays.org to learn more about what we can do to make sure that working parents don't have to choose between caring for their child and a paycheck.
Paid for by the Vermont Paid Sick Days Coalition.
You've decided to set your roots down here, and well over 100 years back, we did too. We're Union Bank. As a local community bank, we know all the back roads, the realtors, and how to get things done locally. That means we can make your mortgage easy, because after all, nobody really does mortgages for fun. Well, except for maybe us. And when you call Union Bank, you get a real person with real answers to your mortgage questions. Now, how about that? Full service, local banking, with people who live where you live. So whether it's your first home or your second, we'll provide you with nimble, local expertise, competitive rates, and a variety of mortgage options that help turn the imagined into the realized. At Union Bank, we know you want to go far in life. Banking local can get you there faster. Union Bank. Stay local. Go far. Visit us at your local branch or go to ublocal.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
New floor models of bedding are arriving at Mattress Sofa Warehouse, so the current ones must go. It's a bedding blowout discount at Mattress Sofa Warehouse. Pillow tops, luxury firm, hybrids, Comfortpedics, Simmons Beauty Rest, and Beauty Sleep. All the floor models must go. Mattress Sofa Warehouse just doesn't have room. If you need fine quality bedding, now is the time to take a close look during the floor model bedding discount blowout sale at Mattress Sofa Warehouse, Gallery Lane on the Mooresville Bypass. Hurry, sale ends April 30th.
Back continue our discussion. We've been talking this morning with Ben Koenig, one of the founders of the Vermont Book, Postcard, and Ephemera Fair, which will be happening on Sunday down on the Burlington waterfront at the Hilton, and it's free. It starts at 10 and runs until 4 o'clock. Let's talk about, we have an item here. It's always fun on the radio, but we'll do our best here. You have here in front of us a magazine which has on the front of it a dummy is on the front of it. What are we looking at?
So we're looking at a white cover of a magazine, and it's about the size of the old Life magazine, if you remember Life magazine. And there's a reason why it's the size of Life magazine. It says on the front in red letters, it says rehearsal, a dummy for the week ending September 24th, 1936.
Now, let me just tell people, a dummy, because I've been in the newspaper business, is sort of what is a mock-up of what
That's right.
is going to happen.
That's right. And they have put it in quotes, in fact, a dummy on this cover. That's all that is on this big white cover here. When you open it up, you'll notice that if you remember Life magazine, it looks a lot like Life magazine, and there's a reason for that, because this is a dummy of Life magazine before it was, it came out. It came out very soon after this, the first issue. But this, they don't even say it's Life magazine. They don't even use the word. They hadn't named it.
Yeah.
They haven't named it yet. And inside are all the kind of familiar features. If you ever look through an old old copy of Life magazine, I mean, wonderful photographs, because there was lots of photographs in that magazine. I mean, when you look at Life magazine, you go back in time. There's a article here about the communist dictator, shows Stalin as a relatively young man.
Yeah, it looks like he's about 20.
And Chiang Kai-shek is 50 years old, and there's a picture of him in here. And so there's stuff going on. 1936, we're sort of headed, I don't know, towards World War II, but we haven't gotten there yet. $2 million worth of Romeo and Juliet. There's an article. But at any rate, there are all these articles, and this is the pre-publication issue, a pre-publication issue of Life magazine. Now, it finally became Life magazine not soon after that. They published a very small, like a miniature-looking copy, which was also just came out before Life magazine, before its actual first issue. And that was, you know, the reason for these is they were trying to get advertisers,
right,
and people like that. I mean, it wasn't to sell the magazine, because otherwise you'd give it a name. So now it doesn't have a name yet, but you're putting it out because you want to show it to people and say, hey, look, this is going to be a great magazine, advertise. And in this particular one, I don't believe there are, well, there is. On the back, there's a lucky strike. LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. And there's a Four Roses ad, but there aren't too many ads in it. It's mostly, and that's probably what they were trying to do with that.
How do you possibly value this?
Well, print things, unlike that letter from the guy who was sitting there watching Lincoln get shot, that we were talking about, that's a fictitious letter that we were talking about before.
The fact it was hypothetical.
Hypothetical. Print things like this have been printed. They were printed in a run of some kind. I don't know how many there are. But I've never run into it before. This is the first one I've ever had. I have had the little other ones, and I've had the first few issues of Life magazine, photographs by Margaret Burke White and people like that. I mean, they are highly collected because of the photography especially.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you put a value on things these days? Well, it's interesting. People now walk around with that little, I see you have a little phone there, a smartphone. People go to the book fairs, and they have in one hand a phone.
Mm-hmm.
The other hand, they open your book.
Uh-huh.
I always tell them to please put down the phone so they don't break the binding on my book.
Yeah.
Because it's good to have two hands free. But anyway, they're holding one hand, and they're seeing your price.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking up the price that someone else might be selling it for,
like
online.
Like on eBay or something.
On eBay.
All right.
And so, you're in competition. Your competition is there. And so, for some books, it has brought down the price of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the consumer is happy with that because it might, it's brought things down. On the other hand, some things that are truly rare, the price has gone up. Because if you go online and there's no copies for sale of something, well, you can say, well, there's no copies for sale. If you want a copy, I've got the only copy.
Right.
If it's a thing that's in demand, that's important. If nobody cares, nobody cares. It doesn't matter whether there's one copy of some self-published poet who nobody knows about and nobody seems to want to know about. So it's...
Well, we don't really have to keep talking about me. Okay.
But the rehearsal dummy here...
So what would you guess this is worth?
You know, I put a price on it. I don't even remember what I put on it, quite honestly. But I put $100 on it. And the $100 was based on research that I did.
Okay.
To see whether there are other copies around. And there are other copies around, but not a lot of them. and they're priced about two times, maybe three times higher than mine. But I didn't think it was worth that much. My guess is that they put out enough of these, so they should be around somewhere. And even though I'm not seeing it online at the moment,
right,
I think it would show up somewhere. But if you collect, I don't know, if you collect 1930s, the end of the Depression, thinking about magazines and things from that period of time,
yeah,
if you collect Life magazine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've collected a few in my lifetime. I wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
I'll bargain with you on that one a little bit later. Let's head over to Cabot. Hi, Amanda. How's it going?
Hi, Mark. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Going fine, and I have bought some Life magazines, actually, from you, Ben. I was just going to tell you folks about an interesting, well, phenomenon you probably know about, Ben, is when people tear down old houses or tear walls, they find interesting stuff in the walls.
Yeah.
And when we did a renovation of the Willie Building in town in 1995, and this building was put up 1920, we found a ticket to a Klan function, a Ku Klux Klan function.
Wow.
And apparently, what I didn't realize, we were also doing a history book at the time, so we interviewed a lot of people who are no longer with us, is the Klan was violently against Catholics, and they were coming to town to try to get rid of the Catholics or something, and we had one person who was, they tried to string up, but the ticket says lecture, Green Mountain Provisional Klan, Realm of Vermont, and underneath it says, come on, eyes, you can do this.
Squint.
I'm trying.
Hold it out a little further.
It's one of these. I'm trying. Gosh.
Now hold it closer.
Welcome to my world. Put America only on guard. Put America only on guard. That's what it says.
A lecture. What an interesting description.
Huh. Well, they're trying to recruit new members.
Well, in the mid-20s... there was, the Klan was active in Vermont.
Yeah.
And they, if I'm remembering correctly, they went out of business not too long after that because they sacked a Catholic church in Burlington in some way. I've forgotten whether they tried to destroy the church, whether they stole some things. I'm not sure. But they wound up, people suddenly looked and they said, hold it a second, we don't really want this to be part of this. So they, you know, I mean, Vermont was a kind of a quiet place and suddenly this going on. But a few years back, you're reminding me, Amanda, that a few years back someone came into my shop and they were clearing out their father's home in Plainfield. And they had the full regalia. They had all of the...
The sheet, the hood,
sheet,
the whole thing?
The hood, the whole thing, yeah.
Really?
And I suggested that they go to the Vermont Historical Society, which they did. And in fact, a few years back, the Vermont Historical Society mounted an exhibition about the Klan in Vermont. There are photographs of a huge rally in Montpelier out on some hillside somewhere. And there's a little book about the Klan in Vermont, the title of which I can't remember, but it's a kind of a short paperback book that people can get a hold of if they're interested in that subject.
Hmm. Thank you, Amanda. I appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
We don't really have time to... Well, let's take Barry's call real quick here. Barry, good morning. Hi.
Good morning, sir.
Go ahead.
Hey, I have an old collection I found of Playboy magazines from the early 60s and right up through the 70s.
No value at all.
No, that's not true.
No,
not true.
I'm kidding.
But the thing about them is the only ones that really have value are the early ones. And especially the very first one, because the very first one had Marilyn Monroe in it and the famous photograph of her. And that is worth quite a bit.
The heating grate one?
The heating grate.
Where she was standing over the heating grate and her dress blew up.
I never saw the... Oh, no, not that one.
Okay.
No, no, no. This is without the dress. And, but anyway, that's worth keeping around. A lot of the others, it became...
Hold on. So, Barry, what do you have?
Well, I have several issues. I mean, I have boxes of these from my, my grandfather right through... right through the late 70s.
What's the earliest ones you have?
I think it's 64.
Right.
Wow. All right.
But what you needed was 50-something, maybe 56 or something like that, is when the Marilyn Monroe one was in.
There's several boxes. I should shuffle through.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely shuffle through.
How many do you have?
There's going to be 60, 80.
Right.
So what would that be worth, Ben? How much an issue?
The later issues, it was a big thing. There are some issues. Hemingway wrote some stuff for Playboy.
Really?
Yeah, you know, there are some issues that have some very famous authors in them.
That's the only reason anybody gets.
There's an interview with Bob Dylan in one of them, which people look for. So there are certain ones that are better.
Okay.
You know,
so he might have one that has great value, and the rest of them may have marginal value.
Yes.
Huh.
So do you have a shop in Waitsfield?
No, in Plainfield is my shop.
Plainfield.
But I'm going to tell you something.
Do you want to see his dirty magazine?
No. When I started to open...
I'm
kidding.
No. When I went to open my shop, there was a local rumor in town that I was opening a porno bookshop.
Oh, great.
And I'm right beside the Methodist church. And so I'm usually pretty careful about what I put out directly because of that. But anyway, I've been there for a long time. I think they trust me.
At this point, let's hope your reputation's been established.
You do a praise there.
I do what?
A praise.
I do a praise, but appraisals are something I get paid for.
And you
don't want the same guy who's going to buy your things to be appraising your things.
Yeah.
So I separate those two functions. You know, we sell things and I buy things to sell. In your case, I don't think you want an appraisal, but you might want to show it to somebody who knows something about that. If you're down in Middlebury, is that where you are?
Yeah.
You know, you might want to go to Monroe Street Books or Otter Creek Books that are there in Middlebury and ask someone there about them. They
All
might
right.
be able to tell you.
Well, thank you for your time.
Sure.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Your call. Thank you for coming in. It's always really fun. Thank you.
It's a pleasure for me, too.
All right, so the event's happening on Sunday morning, starts at 10 a.m. down at the Burlington Waterfront down on the Hilton, and it runs until 4 in the afternoon, and this year it is free.
Free.
This
free.
Is the Vermont Book, Postcard, and Ephemera Fair. So that's great, because you can just come in if you want to spend 20 minutes, if you want to spend 2 hours, you can just sort of wander through and hang out. Thanks for coming in. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier. We'll check in with our White House. We're also going to chat this morning with the new head of Vermont PBS. Back after this.